Well, please turn back in your Bibles to Psalm 46, page 471 in the Church Bibles. Now, back in September 2019, the BBC ran a story on their website about an abandoned Cold War bunker which was being sold for the knockdown price of 25 grand. Back then, of course, it seemed like just one of those silly, funny stories. After all, who would spend £25,000 on a bunker? I imagine many of us now, though we may not have started sort of digging in our back gardens yet, the thought of an underground bunker doesn't seem quite as absurd as it used to. The thought of having somewhere to escape to, a safe place to run to in this chaotic and frightening world, maybe actually feels quite appealing. That's ultimately what a bunker is offering, isn't it? It's a place of safety, a place of security, a place where we're protected. And that's ultimately something we all crave, isn't it? Whether that's in the middle of a global pandemic or just in the ordinary hubbub of life. People, and us included, want to feel safe. That's why we talk about security, don't we? And not just security in terms of our physical safety, but we talk about financial security, job security, securing a future for our children. Safety and security is something that we all crave. Well, as we come to Psalm 46 tonight, what I want us to see is this, that the writer of Psalm 46, he wants us to recognise something. And it's something crucial if we're to live in this unsafe, fragile world with hope and joy. And here's what the writer wants us to understand, that it's only in a relationship with God that true security is found. That's why he says, verse 1, God is our refuge. That word refuge, it means a place of safety, like a bunker. And not only is he our refuge, he's our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. It's in God and God alone that true security is found. Now, let's just think about this psalm for a moment. No one is really sure when this psalm was written. Most Bible experts believe it was written as a celebration of an event recorded in the book of Kings. Jerusalem was surrounded by an army led by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. And from a human perspective, things looked absolutely hopeless. Sennacherib's army was massive, and Jerusalem didn't appear to stand a chance. But if you know your Bible, you'll know that King Hezekiah, he had faith in God. And he believed in God's power to save the city. And so even though the situation was desperate, Hezekiah encouraged the people to trust in God to rescue them. And he did. He destroyed the Assyrian army in one night and Jerusalem was saved. Now, as I say, no one's absolutely sure. That's what people think this psalm is based on. But whether or not this psalm is a celebration of those specific events, it really doesn't matter in the end. Because the truths that this psalm is laying out for us, actually they're truths that stand for all time. Whether it's Jerusalem surrounded by an Assyrian army, or whether it's Christians living in 21st century Britain, all of us need to know this one truth, that God is the source of true security in a crumbling and chaotic world. So we're going to look at this psalm. We're going to do it in three headings before we think about what it's saying to us. And our first heading then, we're going to call a crumbling world. And we're going to look particularly at verses 1-3. So a crumbling world. The psalmist here in these opening verses, he describes a desperate situation, doesn't he? Look at verses 2 and 3. He describes the earth as giving way. The mountains are bulging and shaking and falling into the sea. And the sea itself is raging. It's like one of those scenes from those disaster movies, isn't it? You know, sort of 2012 or San Andreas or one of those disaster movies. The earth, which seems so stable, is starting to come apart at the seams. That's the picture the psalmist is painting. And actually, that's the point, really, isn't it? Because in verses 2 and 3, what the psalmist is actually describing really is a reversal of what we see in Genesis chapter 1. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1? God makes the world, doesn't he? And what happens? He brings the land out of the sea. And he declares it good. But now, that land, which looks so stable, so solid, is starting to crumble. And it's falling back into the sea. Creation, as the psalmist describes it, is experiencing cataclysmic changes. The earth, the mountains, which seem so firm, are falling and crumbling and shaking. And the raging sea is swallowing the land. So what's the writer doing here? Well, the writer, he seems to be confronting us with the instability of this world, doesn't he? This is a world where mountains fall into the sea, where things that seem so stable can actually be revealed to be shaky and unstable and chaotic. Those things that we could rely on can so quickly disintegrate and descend into chaos. We live in a world which is feeling the effects of having been ruined by sin. Sin has wreaked havoc in this world. That's why the Apostle Paul, he speaks about creation groaning like a woman in experiencing labour. I've been with a woman experiencing labour. It's horrible. They sort of scream and they sort of move around a lot. It's awful. That's how Paul describes the world. This is a world in which mountains fall into the sea. Because this is a world which is ruined by sin. There's nothing truly stable in this world, is there? Surely this past year or so has taught us that. COVID, cancer, unemployment, death, depression. Life can so quickly fall apart. And yet, even though the situation the writer is describing is terrifying, even as he looks at this chaotic world in which mountains fall into the sea, he doesn't fear, he says. Why is that? Well, because he doesn't begin by looking at the chaotic world, does he? We actually jumped in at verse 2. We missed verse 1. Because the first place the writer looks is to God. He begins with God. And there's a great lesson for us there. Whenever we're faced with situations and problems which are scary, whether they're the massive problems that affect the whole world, like a global pandemic, or whether they're those problems which just affect us and maybe our life feels like it's coming apart at the seams. Well, do what the writer here does. Don't look first at the chaos and the problem. Look first at God. Do as the writer here does. Remind yourself of who God is. That's what he does. So he says, God is his refuge. I've already said that A refuge is a place of safety, like a bunker. God is the ultimate bunker. He's the one his people can always run to when they're in trouble. And he's a source of strength, he says. God is our refuge and strength. I've got a little girl called Izzy. And in our house, we've got, it's called a fingerboard. It's something you practice on for climbing. And you can do pull-ups on it. And my daughter, Izzy, she's always saying to me, Dad, lift me up so I can do a pull-up. So I'll lift her up. And she'll start to pull, and she's not that strong. So she struggles. So what do? I sort of get underneath her, and I lift her up. And she says, Dad, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. She maybe does like 5 or 10, but it's not really her doing it, is it? I'm the one who's lifting her up and down. Well, that's what the psalmist recognized God does. He pours his strength into us. He drives his strength into his people so that they can not do pull-ups, but can face seemingly impossible and difficult situations. And they can do it because God's strength is being poured into them. So even in the middle of a frightening, chaotic, disastrous world, God's people can know his strength as a reality in their lives, keeping them going. And not only is he a place of safety, not only is he a source of strength, the psalmist says he's ever present. In trouble, God's people can always rely on him to be there. So the psalmist looks firstly at God. And that's why he can say, therefore, we will not fear. That word, therefore, it's a connecting word, isn't it? It connects what he's just said about God to the situation he's in. Knowing this about God means that I do not need to fear no matter what is coming around the corner. What the writer knows about God shapes the way he faces disaster. So let me ask you this evening. Are you afraid? Are you worried? One preacher, a guy called David Jackman, he speaks about what-if syndrome. People go through life saying, what if this happens or that happens? Or maybe that's how you've spent this past week. You know, not being able to get to bed at night. Not being able to get to sleep. What if this happens? What if that happens? What then? Well, understand what this psalm is telling us. Look firstly at who God is. And let the reality of who God is shape the way you look at this world. Again, coming back to David Jackman, he says that as we do this, what if becomes even if. That's really helpful. That we as God's people, recognizing who God is, we don't have to go through life saying, what if this happens? What if that happens? We can go through life saying, even if this happens, even if that happens, and it might. You know, disaster might strike, but even if this happens, I needn't fear, because I know God is with me. I know God is on my side. As God's people, we have no route out of danger necessarily, but we have God's security in it. So, a crumbling world, but the writer trusts in God in the midst of a crumbling world. Let's move on to our second heading then. And we're going to look at verses 4 to 7. And we're going to see a standing city. So, outside the world is crumbling. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms are falling, verse 6. But inside the city of God, and here it seems to be speaking about Jerusalem, well, it's a picture of peace and safety, isn't it? In fact, the psalmist says confidently, she will not fall. Verse 5. Do you see the contrast? The mountains are falling into the sea. The kingdoms, verse 6, are falling. But this city, the city in which God dwells, will not fall. But why is it that the psalmist can be so confident? Well, as I've just said, it's because God is in the city. Look at verses 4 and 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. When morning dawns is typically when an army would attack. So just before the sun rises, the people are asleep, the guards are probably at their least alert. And that's when an army attacks. But the psalmist says, though the city sleeps, God isn't asleep. He's ready to defend the city. Do you see what the writer's saying? God's presence is the guarantee of the city's safety. And that's why we're told in verse 7, and he repeats it in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. I went to a castle on holiday a few years ago now. And if ever you go to a castle, it's amazing, isn't it? The defences that are in place, barely any of them have got a full moat anymore, but you see this massive trench going around the whole side of the castle where there used to be a full of water. And then there's a big steep bank leading up to the castle walls. And then the castle walls, they're massive and they're well thick. And you look at it and you think, how on earth did anyone ever get into a castle? And yet they did. Castles fell. Well, the defence for God's people isn't a moat or a big wall, or a big steep bank. The defence for God's people that the psalmist is so confident in is this, that God himself is with them. He describes the Lord as the Lord Almighty. An alternative translation there is the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the armies. He's the Lord of heaven's army. And therefore, his presence is the ultimate guarantee of safety and security for his people. So we've seen a crumbling world, a standing city, and then thirdly, as we come to the last part of the psalm, verses 8 to 11, an eternal perspective. In the final verses of this song, the writer seems to change his perspective. So far in this psalm, he's been encouraging God's people to have confidence in God in the present. Even with this world falling apart, they're safe because God is with them. But in verses 8 to 11, the writer seems to be not just looking at the present, but also looking at the future. To see not only what God is doing, but what he has promised to do. So to understand what he's saying in the last part of this psalm, let's imagine a scenario. Here are two boys in their front room, they're brothers, and they're fighting with toy swords, okay? But things get out of hand, as they so often do with brothers fighting with toy swords, and suddenly they're whacking each other, and they're screaming, and they're crying, and all sorts. And Dad comes in, and he pulls these boys apart. And he takes their toy swords and he breaks them across his knee. You might think that's sort of not good parenting, but just for the illustration, just run with it. And then he says to these kids, he says, "Sit down and be quiet." Well, I think that's a good picture of what God does here at the end of this psalm. So look, verse 6. The nations are in uproar. But God speaks the word of judgment, and what are we told? The earth melts. And verse 9, God takes the weapons of war that people are using to attack each other and he breaks them over his knee. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And having destroyed the nation's weapons, look what he says, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And that word, be still, it means to sink down. So it could be that God here is speaking to his people and he's saying, you know, relax. Don't worry, I'm God. And I will bring the nations to judgment. That's how often people read it. And it's a wonderful way of reading that verse, isn't it? It's a real encouragement. God says to his people, be still, don't fret. I'm in charge. But actually, I think there's another way of reading that verse, and it's the way I take it. That God isn't so much speaking to his people, God is speaking to the nations. He's calling the rebellious nations to shrink before him. Like that dad saying to those boys, sit down and be quiet. That's what God will one day say to the nations. Stop. Be quiet. The evil, the chaos, the mess of this world that sinful men cause, God will bring it to an end. So do you see why we're looking at verses 8 to 11 under the heading, an eternal perspective? The writer is describing an event that will only finally be fulfilled when Jesus returns as ruler and judge. When he brings a decisive end to all that is wrong, to the sin which creates hostility among the nations. The writer is holding out the promise that God will one day bring an end to the chaos, the evil and dysfunction which scars this world. And he will do it when he comes to reign. Okay, so that's the psalm. That's what this psalm is all about. Where's your security? Where's your safety? In a world where mountains fall into the sea, what can we trust in? What can we hope in? Only God. So let's think then how this psalm relates to us. And firstly, let's think about how this psalm relates to the church. What is the city that will not fall because God is in her? Well, when the psalm was written, it was Jerusalem, wasn't it? But God no longer lives in a temple in Jerusalem. So where does God now live? Well, he lives in his people, in the church. That's where God's presence is found. And so this psalm is holding out a promise that God's people can hold on to. That whatever the world throws at the church, however hostile towards Christians or towards Christian teaching that this world may become, and even if, as is the case in other countries, Christians are imprisoned and killed, the church, the city in which God dwells, the place where God presences himself, will not fall. The man-made kingdoms of this world will fall. Whether they're political kingdoms, financial kingdoms, national kingdoms. Verse 6 we see, they will fall, they will crumble. The man-made kingdoms of this world are as fragile as sandcastles at the beach. They're just waiting to be washed away by the tide of time. Every mountain will fall into the sea, but the city of God, the place where God dwells, will not fall. And so, Christian friends, we can take this as a great encouragement for our churches. As you know, I'm the pastor of East Street Baptist Church in Woolworth. We're not a big church. And we're a lot littler now than we were a year and a half ago. I don't know what coronavirus will mean for East Street. I don't know what coronavirus will mean for Amy and Park Chapel. Or for our country, for that matter. Who knows what coronavirus will do for many of us in our lives. But what we can be sure of is this. That the kingdom of God, seen now in God's people, the church, God's kingdom will stand secure. No matter what disasters are happening in this world, no matter what hostility we may face, God's kingdom will not fall. And so the question tonight, I suppose, before we move on, is this. Are you part of that kingdom? Or are you trusting in something or someone else that will fall? The church, the place where God dwells within his people, stands secure no matter what, because God has promised to protect his people both now and into eternity. But if you're not one of his people, if you're not part of this body of those who belong to Jesus Christ, then you're not secure. Okay, let's move on then. Secondly, let's think about Christians, individuals. This psalm brings us face to face, doesn't it, with the reality of a world where not much is secure, where nothing is secure, in fact. Even the mountains fall into the sea. Well, Christian friend, maybe for you at the minute, maybe that's what life feels like. Maybe it feels like life is just falling apart. Our world, our own personal world, our lives can be turned upside down so quickly, can't they? Cancer diagnosis, a car crash, or just something completely unexpected comes out of the way and it completely knocks us out off course. Maybe that's how you feel today. Feels as though your whole world has just been turned upside down in a moment. Or maybe, like the city of Jerusalem here in this psalm, maybe you feel trapped, besieged. Maybe by a person or circumstances or illness or whatever it might be. And you just feel completely surrounded and attacked. Well, Christian friend, where can you turn? You can turn, as the psalmist does, to the Lord Almighty. He is the only one who offers true protection in a world which is falling apart. You see, the temptation as God's people, and I've been a pastor nearly 8 years, I've seen this time and time again. The temptation as God's people is this, that when hard times hit, we run away from God rather than to him. Because running to him hurts at times. It really hurts. Because we're running towards the one who is ultimately in control. So we say, well, Lord, if you love me, and if you could stop this, why don't you? And yet the Lord allows us to stay in these difficult, horrible circumstances. And so the temptation is that we run away from him rather than to him. But that way leads to disaster. And so learn the lesson of the psalmist here in Psalm 46, that before anything else we run to the God who is our fortress, to the God who is our only place of refuge in a world that's falling apart. Where will running away from God get you in this chaotic and messed up world? Run to him, not away from him. And secondly, if you're a Christian, here this morning, maybe your world isn't falling apart. Maybe actually life for you is going really well. Well, the temptation for you in those circumstances surely is this: to find your security not in the Lord, but in the things of this world. Whether it's your job or your financial security, or trying to secure a future for your kids through their education, or whatever else it might be. Maybe that's a particular danger for us as Christians living in the West. We're very comfortable, aren't we? And in that comfort, we have the great temptation to find security in the wrong things. Surely if coronavirus has taught us nothing else, it's taught us that the security of this world is just a mirage. It's a house of cards that could come crashing down at any moment. Only a few days and we've got no toilet paper. The shelves are empty. You see, the security this world offers, it is so fragile, isn't it? Christian friend, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ today, you needn't look to those things for your security. You need to look to him. Recognize that this is a fragile and fallen world. And that if you're placing your trust and your sense of safety and your hopes and your ambitions in this fallen world, then you're placing them in the wrong place. Let me speak finally to you tonight if you're not a Christian. Every kingdom in this world will fall apart. This is a world where mountains fall into the sea. And so if you're trying today to find security in this world, this world which will ultimately end with God's declaration of judgment, then you are putting your hopes and your sense of security in the wrong place. Every kingdom in this world will fall. They are as stable as sandcastles at the beach. The money in your bank balance will be spent either by you or someone else when you're gone. The house that you live in will one day be a ruin, or it will be redeveloped, or something will happen to it, or you'll just die and you won't live there anymore and someone else will. You can go through life and find every single thing that people put their hopes in and just examine it for a moment or two, and you'll see how fragile and how foolish it is to put your hopes in those things. You will one day stand before the living God and answer for the life you have lived. So don't put your hopes in the temporary, fragile things of this world. Put your hopes, put your trust in the eternal God, the one who offers not just security now, but security which is eternal. Because it's bound up with his character. It's bound up in a relationship with him. A relationship that begins when we put our trust in him, but never ends. That's the only safe place in a relationship with God. And so if tonight you're outside of Jesus, you're not trusting in him, then you have placed your hopes in the wrong place. But tonight, God offers you, invites you to come into his kingdom, to put your trust in him. And through trusting in him, you can be truly safe. Safe from the chaos of this world, knowing that your hopes are in him, and safe from the judgment that is to come, knowing that your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. This is a world where mountains fall into the sea, where kingdoms fall, So come into the kingdom that will not fall. Come to the God who is a fortress and a refuge and a strength. He's the only safe place. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we ask that you would help us to see the fragility of this world. And Lord, though we don't despise the things of this world, they're gifts from you. We pray, Lord, that we would see them for what they are, that they are not eternal, and that they're not ultimately stable. And Lord, that we would trust in the God who is eternal and who is safe. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.